Christian Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. I trust that you've all had a great week. I want to welcome you if you're joining us for the first time. We've been in a journey through the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is one of the longer books of the Bible. We began 2 years ago, and in 2 years of this journey, we've finally reached Genesis chapter 22, and all the church members said, hallelujah. Right? It's taken us almost 2.5 years to get there. And now we're finally in Genesis chapter 22, and this is literally the pinnacle, the climax of the story of Abraham. And we've tracked it from last year all the way to this year, and we studied this journey, this fascinating journey of this man. As I studied this, I was reminded of how we live in this journey, this real life. It's not just a church box thing that we go to on a Sunday and everything goes away. Now, we start the journey of Abraham as a pagan. He didn't believe in God. God met him and spoke to him, and he put his faith in God. That was the beginning. In Genesis chapter 11, towards the end of that chapter, Abraham meets God, listens to God, puts his faith in God, and then he obeys God and follows God. God says, leave your people, leave your family, and go into this journey. So he does it. He actually literally obeys God. But as he obeys God, he meanders towards Egypt. He actually wants to follow God, but sins against God. In fact, not just sin against God, an atrocious sin where he literally sells his own wife. How many of you know all the wives will not like that? And that's exactly what this guy did after he gives his heart to God. Because the reality is our faith is imperfect. As much as we want to believe it's perfect, the reality is it's not. And then he meanders towards Egypt, and God saves him out of there. God literally causes diseases to fall upon Pharaoh, so Pharaoh would kick him out of Egypt and give him all the wealth that he had made, and he continues his journey with God. He's back on track with God. And he realizes that there's a way of God and the way of Egypt, and they're not the same way. Lot picks up the spirit of Egypt and goes separately from Abraham. Abraham now journeys separately from Lot and now lives a very different life. Lot takes the route of the greener pastures, so to speak. And Abraham says, that's not where I'm going. Lot gets into trouble. A war breaks out. All of these kings start to fight. And Abraham finds it within himself to rescue Lot. Now he's not just a man of faith, not just a man who's walking with God. He's actually now a person who has a means to help those who are in trouble. He's now being used by God and moves forward and continues his journey with God. And at some point enters into a sacred agreement with God, a covenant with God, and says, God, I will serve you all the days of my life. And right after he does that, he produces an Ishmael. Doesn't this sound like you or me? Where you look like your faith is stable and you're serving God and you go to church and you do all the right things and the next thing you're doing is you're producing an Ishmael. In the faithfulness of God, God rescues him and visits him with two angels and three visitors, and he says, don't worry about it, we'll fix it. And the promise is going to happen. The story of Abraham is actually the story of God as he interfaces with real life people, imperfect people, so to speak. Visit of God leads to him bargaining with God again, not understanding that God has a holy path and insists that God, you should save the righteous and God knows everything, and God still proceeds and judges Sodom and Gomorrah in holiness and power, and he becomes a witness of that. And he realizes this is the way of God, that God will not just do what you want, but will have his way. In the midst of that, he makes the same mistake. He actually repeats the same thing and sells his wife again. If you ever wondered why Isaac got delayed, it's probably because he kept selling his wife. She didn't want to be with him. And finally, in the faithfulness of God, God gives him the promise. It's a journey, isn't it? It has been a long journey. And now we arrive at the pinnacle of the story, the very crux of the matter, the point of why the story was even told. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, after this long journey, after all the things that he's been through, God tested Abraham, the Hebrew word nasah, which shows up for the very first time in the Bible, the very first time it's ever been mentioned. God wants to test Abraham. After this journey, you would have thought that in the midst of that journey, he would have been tested. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that through that journey, God now, in this junction of his life, begins to test. To see if that faith was genuine and real. And notice where it says Abraham. The tests of God for you, the tests of God for me are in many ways very personal. The tests that I'm going to go through are not the tests that you're going to go through. Your issues are not mine. Your weaknesses and your strengths are not mine. We have different ways of living life. There's a general side and a universal side that we're all human beings. We're all part of a family. We're all part of nations. There's something universal about us, but there's also something very unique about us. Our families are unique. Our wives are unique. After being married 37 years now, I can safely say my wife's unique. Amen? But a call from God, a test that is very personal. And here we find Abraham saying, here I am, responding to the test. What is it? Now he's learned to hear God. Some of you need to learn to do that. And not just listen to a pastor. The job of a pastor is not to be God. The job of a pastor is to make God clearly understood in your life so you're able to hear God, not just in church, but outside of church. This did not happen in a setting of church. This was happening probably in an open field. And he's responding, and he could now have the ability to hear God and say, here I am. Why do you test something? There are a number of reasons why tests are made, but one of the reasons why tests are made is to know if something's genuine. You test certain things because you want to know, is this thing the real deal? We live in a world where the fakes look like the real thing, amen? Apparently, to test these things, there is a test, by the way. And it's not just eyes, there's a little code name underneath these bags, and you have to get there and check the number and the serial number and go to the company, and you're going to find out whether this thing is worth $800 or $64. But a test. And it's funny how people who wear these things or use fake jewelry, they actually don't want a test. Amen? You know, if you have a fake thing that you're wearing, you don't want that to be tested because you know you're going to get caught. Are you following? It's funny how we've now learned to want to project this image of who we're not because we're afraid if people found out who we really are, they probably won't like us. That's not the case with God. God, you can't, he's going to test. Now, with diamonds and jewelry and fake bags and all that accessory, that's fine. But you know, when you deal with medicine, you don't want to take the fake one. It becomes dangerous. Now, as a church, we do believe in accessorizing for women. Amen. We don't have a problem with some of these things. Thank God my wife is out of town. I think we can tolerate certain things that are not real. But you know what you cannot not tolerate, or you shouldn't tolerate, is a fake heart. Because a fake heart leads to fake faith. And fake faith, like fake medicine, doesn't work. You might as well not have no faith. Because you're just playing religion. Real faith is the journey of Abraham. The genuine one. It says, take your son, take your future, take your heritage, take your legacy, take the very thing that you have that is the basis of continuity. And take it, your only son. In other words, the only future you've got. This might actually be your job. This might actually be not a child. If you're single, this might be your boyfriend. Amen? If you didn't have one, maybe something else. I had a guy ask me yesterday actually, and he said, why don't I always hear you talk about careers and work? And why is it that he didn't really say it that way. I was trying to explain to him where is work, he was saying, where is work in your value scale? Where's career? Because in this nation, that's everything. your career is everything. And I explained to him that I actually learned that work is not the everything for me. I think we've got it wrong. I think we think work is our career. I think some of you guys think your work is your studies. If you think that way, you're going to miss it. And I explained to him that work actually is not just your career, not just your job. That if that's your definition of work, then you won't go to church because it takes work to go to church. Amen? It takes work to read the Bible. It takes work to tap into the things of God. It takes work to make a marriage work. If the only basis for your work is your career, then your relationships are going to fail because you thought that was work and that was the real thing. No, no, no. That's just one of the things. This is just as important, if not even more important. It takes work to be a good parent. It takes work out to be healthy. But you thought that your career was all there was to it. And you've put this inordinate amount of imbalance into this thing that really is just a part of a greater thing. And now living this fake life. And wondering why it's not working. Because you're trying to attack it from the wrong end. And it says the one that you love, this is the test. Are you ready to give up this thing that you love? By the way, this is also the first time the word love is ever mentioned in Scripture. The thing that you adore. The thing that you've put a level of value in. And now go. There's a going to faith. Faith is not always just coming. It's about going. Go to church. Go meet people. Go to small group. Go to missions. There's a going to faith. Not all just receiving and being blessed and being prosperous. In fact, prosperity comes from understanding going. An offer. In other words, it's a command. God's asking of it, but it's not being forced upon you. It's a choice. Would you offer and give your best to God? And a burnt offering. Something that you're willing to literally burn up and go, because fire is the basis of God's testing. When God wants to test something, He always uses fire, always uses hard times. That's just the way it is. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12 says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it is revealed by fire. Fire tests everything. Hardship tests everything. The test and the fire will test what sort of work has been done. It will prove when hard times come whether that marriage will stand the test of time. It will prove that what you were doing is real and genuine. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 3, the crucible is for silver. Fire, crucible. Intense fire. To prove whether that silver is pure. And then he says, the furnace is for gold. A crucible is hot. A furnace is worse than hot. But it says, the Lord tests hearts. Hearts are tested and proven by God. Why are tests done? To know something is genuine. To know if something is genuine. You want to know that. You want to know, is my faith genuine? Am I just going to church? Am I just wasting my time? The second reason for a test is to know if the lesson has been learned. In other words, kids take tests so that we know, do they get it? The 1 plus 1, the 2 plus 2, the 3 plus 3, we let them do the test so we know, do they get it? And with math and arithmetic and all of that, that's basic. So you can do weights and measures, you can pay the right bills, you can do your budgets, you can do your accounting. But you know, there's other things that you need to test to make sure it's safe, and that's like driving. You need to know. You got to test someone before you actually send him out there to drive, because he might actually endanger himself or endanger others. Tests are there to know, not just whether it's genuine or real, but to know, did Abraham learn his lesson? A pilot has to be tested because he's responsible for other people's lives. You know, the good thing about God, as in the case of Abraham's journey, is God is not your geometry professor, amen? How many of you had professors who didn't really want to give you a test? They wanted you to fail. make it so hard for you to make it. That's not God's way of testing. God's way of testing is not setting you up so you would fail. God's way of testing is so that you will know. In fact, He already knows whether your faith is genuine or not. It's not for Him to know. It's for you to know that you learned your lessons, that your faith is genuine. It's not for Him. I mean, He knows everything. It's for you to know that you can fly the plane. If you're new, to know that you can drive the car. It's for you to know that you love your wife. It's for you to know that you love your children. It's for you to know, is your faith genuine or not? And have you learned the lessons? It's more like teaching a child how to walk and holding that child. I'm expecting my fifth grandchild very soon. In fact, my wife's staying an extra week because she wants to be in the birthday of two of my grandchildren. And you watch these little children as their fathers hold them for a season of time. And you're teaching them this lesson of walking because you know that at some point you're going to have to let go and test whether they can make it. And sometimes they're going to fall and they're going to bump their head and you're going to have to ice pack that thing. They're going to break things. And you let it happen. Because you know there's a jungle out there. That if they didn't know how to walk with you and knew the lessons that they needed to learn, they're not going to make it in the real world. Hence, God wants to test Abraham. The point of his life where God wants to know, do you get it? And watch what happens in verse 3. Abraham rose early in the morning. He actually learned his lesson. I was thinking about that verse and I thought, if that was me and God says, give up your Isaac, I'd probably sleep longer that day and wait another 2 days. But he didn't. He saddled his donkey and got ready. He took two of his men because he knew it was a 50-mile journey and there could be ambushes and he needed to make sure he got there. He wanted to do this. He wasn't just, maybe it will happen, maybe God will change his mind. No, God, you said it, I'll do it. Pinnacle of his life. The reason why we call him the father of faith is because he did learn his lesson. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place was still far. And despite that, you know how it is when you're in this journey and you see it, maybe we'll just come back next week. Yet the Bible says he continued to do sojourn and journey. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you again. This is also, by the way, the first time the word worship shows up in Scripture, where somebody is offering a sacrifice not just because it was required of him, but because he saw the worthiness, worthship, that this person was worth everything. Hence, I'm going to give him the best of what I have and come to you again. He declared by faith that at some point, the boy and I are going to return to you. And how he got there, Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who received the promises was in act of offering up his only son, of whom he said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named, because that's my future, because he believed that God was able to raise the dead back to life. That God had that power, that God was capable of doing that for him. I had my own Abraham-Isaac test in the year 2005. This is my family. These are my three boys. This picture was taken in 2004. And in 2005, my oldest son, Joseph, had an accident. And he had a violent accident. And I was watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory in the movie house. It was a Monday evening, and I had a phone call. And it was one of those calls that you dread. And my phone rang, and I saw it was my youngest son. And he said, I typically pick up my phone when it's my children. So I go out of the movie house, and my son said, Joe had an accident. At that time, I had no understanding what it was, and I've trained my sons not to be too panicky and not to be alarming. And he said, I asked, is it serious? And he said, I think it's serious. I think you know to come. We're in the hospital right now in the emergency room. I don't mean to be graphic, but I want you to catch the picture of what happened. I got to the hospital, and there was my son. He had cracked his skull in three places, and he was bleeding to death. His neck was filled with blood, and the doctor walked up to me and said, "We have a 50-50 chance if you decide to operate on your child now. We could lose him." Actually, 60-40 chance of losing him. We proceeded with the surgery, and for 3.5 hours, I was sitting on the ledge of that hospital. I wish I could say that I saddled up my donkey and woke up early in the morning. I was actually mad at God. How dare you interrupt my movie? I never watch Willy Wonka ever again. I was mad at God because I was saying, I've served you all these years, and it was a test. And for 3 hours, I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. Is this guy going to die? What's going to happen here? And I was worried. And finally, we got the news, and now 3 hours later, he came out. And apparently, when somebody has brain surgery and they put a plate in his head, and the doctor was explaining to him, we've got to test you. We've got to wake you up from sedation. And they had to test, can you count 1 to 10 and backwards? Can you say A, B to Z and backwards? And they take, can you wiggle your toes? Can you wiggle your fingers? And he passed all the tests. And the doctor said, how do you feel? I feel so good. And then my son looked up at the doctor and said, you said you put a metal plate in my head. He said, yes. Well, does that mean I'm going to get a better cell phone signal now? And at that point, we realized he was well. Amen? Some of us, we're not going to get our kids back. I got mine. But it was a test. It was a test because at some point there, I actually prayed that prayer and said, you can have Joseph. Just make sure I don't get offended with you. Make sure I don't lose my faith. About 3 hours into this thing, I said, Lord, you can have him, but just make sure I don't ever lose you. The reason why God tests is because he wants to know if something's genuine. And he wants to know if you've learned your lesson well, Abraham and Joey. And finally, to see if you're ready for the next level. Tests are done to children. If you can't pass a math test, you're not going to pass a calculus test. If you're not going to pass life's test, if you don't know what it feels like to walk a baby, you're not going to know how to walk adults. You're not going to know how to handle big things if you've never gone through these tests. So God tests us because there's a purpose and a reason. He's not because he's a bad person. He actually wants the best for you, but he knows we live in a broken world. I like it when people say, you know, I actually believe that all people are good. Okay, so why is the world a problem? Because it's broken. Okay, so why is our world broken? Because people are broken. Hello? Sometimes it's funny how people say, no, the world is perfect. Everybody's good. Yeah, if it were that good, then why do we have all these problems? Because it is broken. And for you to survive this world, entering into eternity, he's going to have to teach you lessons. And he's going to test if you understand them. Show you a short video of a story of a woman whose son was murdered at 16 years of age. Literally, a story of somebody who lost her son. See, what happens is, 10 years after, Mary is asked by her pastor to teach on forgiveness. And as she was teaching on forgiveness, she realized she didn't really learn her lesson very well. And so she began to repent to God, and God says, let's test whether your forgiveness is real. Go to the prison and meet this guy again. But before you do that, start praying for him. So Mary started praying for the murderer and finally meets him after a year, not realizing that God had actually touched this young man. And the rest of the video, this next video, tells you that she actually leads her to God and she makes her Mary, her own no son. Shit. God has ways and means for you and me that are as impossible if you think about it. Woman who lost her child, actually has a new son, and travels together. As we close this message, we find the remaining verses to verse 8, where Abraham took the wood and put it on the shoulder of Isaac. And Isaac asked his father, "My father," he said, now the son is speaking to him, instead of God speaking to him, and he says, "Here I am." The very words that he said to God. It's almost like a picture of heaven, where God wants to save the world, and the son is asking him, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb and the burnt offering?" And Abraham was ready for the next stage. God will provide for himself the lamb of burnt offering for my son. So they went in both of them together. Started going up the hill. And we'll close this story next week. But Abraham was able to go to the next level. By the way, you are Christians. We're all Christians here. We know that Jesus died for our sins. Abraham had no idea that God's plan was to send his son to die for our sins. This was a revolution for him. He was about to see the greatest story in history mirrored in a relationship between him and his own son. It was the picture of Isaac and Jesus. Both loved their father and loved by their father. Both were sons of the promise. Both carried the wood on their backs, which was going to be the place where they were going to be sacrificed. Both submitted to the will of the father. One of them died. The other one lived and was saved. It was the picture of this love of God. The ultimate lesson that every human being should know. That God so loves us that he would give his only son. But the emotion of this was so real. It's kind of like when you realize your son's about to die. There's a big difference in the emotion of you hearing a story and you realizing that this is about to happen. And Abraham realized that God's love was such that he was willing to give us anything so that we can learn how to worship him. The simple lesson here is God wants to test us to let us know that what we have is genuine. That's my prayer, that your faith will be, the genuineness of your faith is not that your faith is perfect, but that your faith is based on what Jesus Christ has done for you. The second thing you want to learn is that to know, and you can tell, that I've learned my lessons. I know how to walk with God. And finally, this idea that I can take my faith to the next level in my relationship with him. Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Just close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Could you look up here for a minute? There's some of you, this is your first time here, and you don't even know what to make of this. And there's some of you, there's just too many distractions. There's just too many things going on. And God's just wanting you to understand that the real secret to life is to focus on him. And as you close your eyes, just close your eyes here. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. There's some of you, God's inviting you into this journey of Abraham to put your faith in him and to see that faith transform you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And if that's you, or even if you're a believer, would you just put your hands in your hearts right now? Father, thank you for the story of Abraham. Thank you for your desire and willingness to show us the genuineness of our faith. And Father, God, give us genuine faith, Lord. Father, give us a genuine heart, a heart that loves you and knows you and worships you for who you are. Father, give us an ability to know the lessons that you want to teach us. And Lord, may you prepare us for every stage of our faith as we go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy your lunch and the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.